Hey there! Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies. I tell stories about what worked, but also those big epic fails that I learned from. I interview experts to glean some of their expertise and wisdom, all because I believe to my core, the teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And that's especially true in a world of machine learning and artificial intelligence. And we've been talking about that a lot lately for the last year or so. And I just want to say, if you haven't checked it out yet, my newest book, The AI Roadmap, is all about that. It's what does it mean to take a human-centered approach, a human-forward approach that integrates AI rather than centering it on the AI itself. For those of you who have checked it out, who have bought it, I want to say also that I do have a study guide. It's great for discussion groups and for book clubs and for personal reflection, and you can find all of that on my website. So check it out if you haven't seen it yet. I just want to make a quick plug about that. And again, I've been talking to experts on that. If you listen to my last podcast episode, it was all about the role of librarians in a world of AI. And a couple podcasts ago, I interviewed Sal Khan from the Khan Academy because I am continuing on this journey myself. And today I want to talk about one specific area of AI and the idea of AI for personal supports and scaffold. I take a much deeper dive into this topic in my book, The AI Roadmap, but I want to share just a thought of how we can use generative AI to design better scaffolds and supports for students. I mean, I know we think often about the role of AI for academic integrity, for students cheating, and all of those things are true. Those are valid concerns. I understand educators' fears around that. But today I want to talk about how can we use this as a learning tool that promotes equity? How can we use it as a learning tool that actually allows people who maybe had a harder time accessing the content to access the content? So I'm going to be sharing some specific ideas of how we can use AI for scaffolds and supports. And first, I want to share this idea, just let me nerd out for a moment, of old school education theory, and it's ZPD, or Zone of Proximal Development. Again, just bear with me for a minute as I nerd out on education theory, which I am prone to do and I love to do. And so here's the idea of the Zone of Proximal Development. It comes from Vygotsky. And I want you to think about it this way. We all have things that we can do independently, but then there's these other things that are impossible for us to do. Like, not to brag, but I'm really good at loading a dishwasher. If you wanted a TED Talk on how to load a dishwasher, I'm your man. On the other hand, I can't slam dunk a basketball, like, at all. It's not gonna happen. But then there are these other things, these things in a middle zone that you can't do on your own quite yet, but you can accomplish them with a little help. You might need help from a teacher or a peer group or a resource. And with proper training, hours of practice, maybe a trampoline, I might be able to slam dunk a basketball. Maybe. Okay, probably not. But Vygotsky, Lev Vygotsky, who's been dead for a long time, called this middle space the Zone of Proximal Development, or the ZPD. At the center, you have the things that you can do on your own. On the outside, you have the things that you simply cannot do. But in this middle zone, you have the ZPD, which are the things that you can do with guidance and support. In 1976, Jerome Bruno applied Vygotsky's theory to the K-12 setting with the concept of scaffolding. You often hear that term, supports, scaffolds. That's coming from Bruner, and that goes all the way back to 1976. Here, educators provide supports called scaffolds to help students master the learning. Then, like the scaffolds in a building, teachers pull back the supports as students master the knowledge. At this point, the ZPD grows outwards as students master the new knowledge with new scaffolds. As an educator, you might also use AI for this scaffolding process. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can we expand this ZPD so students can be more empowered in their learning and they can access it more easily? It could be as simple as an algorithm of recommended tutorials for students who are struggling. You might use it to design scaffolds from scratch or to modify existing ones. For something more intensive, you might use generative AI for this tutor that goes back and forth in a question and answer dynamic format. In the book, the AI Roadmap, I get into, you know, what are the things you would look for in this type of tutor? And I have a set of questions to kind of guide people through it. But also, we as educators can use it to design scaffolds for neurodiverse students. A few months ago, I had a student who was struggling to keep up with the frantic schedule of our master's program. So many courses started at one date and ended at a different date. We had one credit courses and three credit courses and elective classes mixed in, and some were asynchronous and some were synchronous and some were virtual and a few were actually in person. And this particular student has ADHD and has challenges with executive function. Though she's hardworking, she's intelligent, she's creative, compassionate, she will be a phenomenal teacher. She struggles to keep up with so many details in multiple directions. It is simply overwhelming for her. So during office hours, I met with her and actually three other students, and we went over how we could use ChatGPT to create a day-by-day course plan. We copied and pasted information from Canvas sites and syllabi. We then had it broken down into the assignments and the projects. We took the projects and assignments, broke them into chunks of tasks and subtasks, and we put these things into to-do lists. From there, we turned the to-do list into single, doable, color-coded spreadsheet. We then used the plan to fill in a Google Calendar and to set alarms on our phones and things like that. And what started out with me showing students this demonstration of ChatGPT quickly became a conversation among my pre-service teachers where they shared coping strategies and they talked about how hard it was to live in a world that simply wasn't made for them. In that moment, I was struck by, yeah, we were talking about AI, we were using it to build supports and strategies, but more than anything else, these students who struggled with executive function simply needed to be heard and to be known and to have others who were like them, who were helping guide the process. This was focused on the technology, yes, but it was also deeply, deeply human. In the end, each student ended up with a personalized approach that reduced extraneous cognitive load and allowed them to focus on the learning. One person used a specific calendar app that uses AI to modify the daily schedule. Another person chose a specific to-do list and reminder app, and that process really helped them figure out what to do. We then talked about what it might look like to teach while having ADHD, which was something all of these teacher candidates had in common. At one point, a student said, "I wish I had had generative AI when I was in high school. That would have been a game changer for me." Another talked about how they might use this approach and how they would help students break down big projects into smaller chunks for the students who felt overwhelmed in a project-based learning classroom. This student was all about PBL, but they were realizing this could make PBL manageable for students who struggled with executive function issues. This is just one example of how generative AI can help generate structures and scaffolds for neurodiverse students. There's a few more ideas I'd love to share. Providing additional handouts to facilitate task analysis for executive function. Using AI to help schedule small groups. Using AI speech recognition software as an assistive technology in writing. Using AI image generators to help students who need more concrete examples of what they're learning in class. Designing targeted skill practice. Using AI to modify assignments to reduce cognitive load. Using AI to reduce the amount of work while maintaining a high challenge level. For example, a student with dyscalculia might need fewer problems, but still master the math content at the same grade level. None of these supports should replace the goals within an individualized education plan or an IEP. We don't want to replace teachers with algorithms. We can, however, use the AI as a starting place for designing more personalized scaffolds and supports. Here, the AI platform saves time and makes the differentiation process more feasible for teachers. It works like an assistant to create something general that you then modify with your own expertise and knowledge of students. I've used this comparison in the past, but it sort of creates the vanilla that you begin with, and then you personalize it to make it something individualized. What about language? We just explained how this helps with neurodiverse students, but if someone is learning English, if they are an ELL, ESL, ESOL student, you get the idea. If they're learning English, AI can be a phenomenal starting place for creating language supports. This would involve things like front-loaded vocabulary. It can be used to pick out the vocabulary, to define the vocabulary, to come up with examples, but also to generate images. I personally have had a lot of fun just using it to create vocabulary. And the tool I'm using right now is Midjourney. I think there's some great, when I look at the previews of the newest DALL-E, I'm really excited about what that's going to look like. So again, generative AI can be a game changer just for something as simple as front-loading vocabulary. It can be a great tool for translation help. It can be great for designing leveled sentence stems, for using visuals within the project to facilitate language development, for tools where you can assess language proficiency, for language practice. So there's a lot of different opportunities here to help use these tools for language acquisition. And I want to point this out, that notice that in all of these cases, the teacher can begin with AI-generated supports, but then modify them to suit their context. Teachers might even invite students to help with this modification process. And this frees up the teacher to pay attention to students' affective filter and reduce their fear and anxiety. So the big idea I want to get into here is that AI won't replace the need for teachers to modify and differentiate instruction, but it will make differentiation much more feasible. And I think that's the critical idea. I've noticed that many ELL teachers spend a significant amount of time designing these supports and scaffolds, and that's a good thing. But meanwhile, many ELL and non-ELL classrooms fail to receive the supports that they need. If we can leverage AI to save time, to design scaffolds, we can help students access the content while improving their language development. Ultimately, you know your students best, and I get that. That's why you'll take what is created by the AI and modify it to fit the needs of your students. Okay, so what does this actually look like? I'm going to give a specific example of leveled readers. I used to spend hours and hours creating leveled readers when I was a classroom teacher. And so I want you to imagine that you're teaching industrialization to a group of, say, seventh grade social studies students. And you want to have a class Socratic seminar asking the question, was the Industrial Revolution an overall negative or positive thing for our world? Now, you'll do a review of the Industrial Revolution, and you might start with front-loaded vocabulary using that AI-generated vocabulary and definitions. And you'll take those definitions and you'll rewrite them knowing your students. So you're going to take that vanilla and make it your own. You're going to make it into, you know, something that's mint chocolate chip or s'mores flavored or whatever it may be. That, I don't know. I mean, whatever flavor you're coming up with. In fact, just bear with me for a second. The last ice cream I made was mango tahine ice cream, and it was sort of chili, lime, a little bit of sea salt, and mango, and I'm telling you, it was a great flavor of ice cream. But let's pop back into the relevant idea of AI. So you're going to use that to create your vocab. And then you might do a simulation, you might do a game, you might review some of the Industrial Revolution with a quick 5-minute slideshow to build their content knowledge. And then it's up to you what you do next. You might have groups of students building their background knowledge about the Industrial Revolution by using a chatbot as a Q&A. So they're going to ask questions, they're going to find answers, they're going to ask more questions, they're going to find more answers. And it's building that background knowledge in a way that fits their level. It's very inquiry-based. But at this point, you might want the class to do a shared reading. You might want them to understand the Industrial Revolution at a deeper level. And here's where you want them to read independently. The challenge is you might have students at multiple grade levels, right? So some kids are at a third grade reading level, some of them are at an eighth grade reading level, and that presents a very real challenge for independent reading. So I want to share three different approaches you might take. Number one is AI generated, but human modified. You start with the key points you'd like to cover and have generative AI create a text written at the seventh grade reading level. It's not a bad start, but it's a little boring. So you edit it. You take the text and you punch it up with some humor, some bizarre examples that you know, and a few things that maybe you think the AI missed. You'll also fact check it with your historical knowledge to make sure it's accurate, and you might look at the language itself to see if there's any bias or loaded language. From there, the AI chatbot takes this revised version that you created, and it modifies that text to create a leveled reading ranging from the third grade to the seventh grade reading level. Now every student can access the text at a level that matches their fluency level. You might also ask for a set of critical thinking questions, some vocabulary, some things like that, some sentence stems that fit in with it for discussion, and the AI is generating that for you. Okay, so that's the first approach. The second approach is human-generated, but AI-modified. With this model, you might write your own text that you give to the chatbot. You might pull a text that's from Wikipedia or some kind of other Creative Commons text. And you can then ask the chatbot to add a few details, to change up some language, and then again, do that same process of making leveled readers with vocabulary, sentence stems, things like that. The third idea is a little bit of a mix. It's sort of an in-between of AI and human-generated, and it's the notion of a mashup. With this option, you might provide 2 to 3 segments of source material, and then you ask the chatbot to create one cohesive piece that's a mashup of, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 pieces of source material. And you might even ask it to quote the sources, to cite them, and then afterwards, you can fact check it, rework the piece if you want, and ultimately do the same thing. You send it back to the AI to revise it to be at multiple reading levels. And notice that each of these approaches treats AI as a learning tool. The process is messy, it's human, it's inherently social. The machine learning speeds up the process and makes differentiation more feasible, but you as the teacher are still the editor, the creator, the curator of the content. You're the expert on your students and you know your context, you know what they need, and so you can modify it. Although it's important that we design these scaffolds for students, I think it's also important that ultimately we empower students to use AI themselves as a way of supporting their learning, as a way of reaching for what they need, as a way to design their own scaffolds and supports. A few semesters ago, I had a student ask for a transcript of our class Zoom session, which is something I often do, and he used the chatbot to delete the timestamps and translate it to Spanish. As a dual language student, he likes using both languages as he wrestles with ideas and compares the transcript with his notes. And the other thing is he did is he cross-referenced this to the slideshow, to the agenda, and created his own kind of study plan. And I share this story because every time there's a new technology and people are scared about cheating, I always ask, yeah, but how are people using this to scaffold their own learning? In other words, how might an exceptional learner use this? How might an English learner use this? How might someone who hasn't had the advantages of others use this? Because what might seem to some as a, quote, chance to cheat might just be a game changer that allows someone else to access the learning. As educators, we can empower students to self-select the scaffolds they use. So while you might make modifications for specific students, the more you can design these scaffolds and supports and then make them available to all students, the more you empower them to own their learning. Next week, I'm going to be doing an interview with Katie Novak. She's an expert on something called UDL, or Universal Design for Learning, and she's going to be talking all about this idea of making things accessible to all students rather than just differentiating for some. But in general, you can think of UDL as a shift from a deficit mindset to neurodiversity, from a singular accommodation to a universally accessible scaffold and support, from teacher-centric to student-centered approaches to learning. And it's all about providing students with multiple means of representation, multiple means of action and expression, and ultimately multiple means of engagement. With AI, universal design is simply more feasible. We might use AI-driven virtual labs or simulations to help with solving hard problems. We can provide students with options for media and format for their finished products. Students can leverage AI in their creative work. We can use AI to build better projects and choice menus and provide better access to AI tutors. A universal design for learning approach embraces the diversity of all learners so that any student can find the scaffolds they need, whether it's a tutorial, a sentence frame, a set of front-loaded vocabulary, you get the idea. And this ultimately helps them become self-directed learners and problem solvers. And these will be the very skills they need to navigate the maze of an uncertain future. In the end, I don't know how AI is going to change learning. We can observe how it is already changing things like creativity and information literacy and all of that. But I do know this: what we can do is empower our students to be adaptable as they experience these changes. We can help them see how they can use AI as a tool to make the learning more accessible, whether that's with scaffolds and supports or through machine learning for feedback, or through easier formats for doing their creative work. In the end, I love the question, how can this tool be used to make learning more meaningful and accessible to all students? Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you, first of all, tell a friend about it? Word of mouth is still the best way for folks to learn about it. But also, would you be willing to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcast? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And go out and make something awesome.